Good morning. I wanted to end with that song this morning. We're going to be talking about justification this morning, and what was just stated, that he took my sins and my sorrows and he made it his very own. As the scripture says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Take my burden upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit, and you'll find rest for your souls. He took our sins and our sorrows. Our question this morning is, what is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace wherein he pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Let's pray and ask God's help before we start. Father, we thank you again this morning. Lord, we thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you that you've given us a place to come and gather and worship the one true and living God. We pray for your help this morning, Lord. I pray that you would forgive me, your unrighteous servant, Lord. Just a man of flesh and bones, Lord. I pray that you would help me this morning, that you would fill me with your spirit to speak your word. Help us to hear what you have for us this morning, this great love that Christ showed to his people. Help us this morning, Father. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Justification. I'd like to read you something I found in an Encyclopedia Britannica the other day. It says of justification, it says a person stands before God not as righteous, but as a sinner, entirely dependent upon God's grace. It is God who calls the sinner righteous. In human law courts, only the innocent person is justified. But in the tribunal of God, before whom all are sinners, it is precisely the unjust who are declared just by God's merciful verdict. This is no arbitrary pronouncement, but is made with reference to Jesus Christ, who was put to death for our trespasses and raised for our justification, as it says in Romans 4, verse 25. In this way, the sinner is acquitted from the law, sin, and death, is reconciled with God, and has peace and life in Christ through the Holy Spirit. It is not merely declared just, but is truly made just by the atoning work of Christ fully. We're not just declared just, we're made just. Like we sang the first song this morning, his robes for mine. He took upon himself our sins and gave us his righteousness. We're truly made righteous by the work of Christ. Simple fact of justification is basically a man or woman made righteous not by their own merit, but by the merit of Christ who stood in their place and paid the debt that they owed. If you would, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, and let's go through some scripture this morning and speak of this justification. Romans chapter 3. Verse 24, and we'll see that it is a free gift. It's not nothing that's earned. Verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, I'll just read it to you. Verses 8 and 9, it says, and we all know this verse, it's very, very familiar. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. As Jonah said in chapter 2, truly salvation is of the Lord. Amen. It's the Lord's work. It's not our work. Right. Ephesians 1:7, if you would turn there. And we'll see here that we have forgiveness by His grace. Grace, unmerited favor, we do not deserve it. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. You think for us as earthly beings, when someone has done us not terribly wrong, but just a little wrong, how hard it is to show them grace and mercy. But the scripture teaches us that while we were yet His enemies, He died for us. What grace. Colossians chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, verses 13 and 14 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And notice something in that scripture right there. It says, in whom we have, not will have, not may have, but have. Amen. Because it's a free gift. If you would, turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, and we'll see that He is our substitute, the one who bore our sins. Chapter 5 and verse 21. Speaking of God the Father here, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. The Bible says that He was a perfect man, that there was nothing in Him. Brother Jimmy mentions this quite a few times, one of his favorite parts of Scripture, where Jesus speaks of Satan, and He says that he has nothing, nothing in me. The perfect man that came, that kept the law, was made to be sin for us. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, and it says that all we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on Him the iniquity of us all. I find as the further I go in this walk with Christ, the more I realize my sin, the more precious He becomes to me, the more aware I am of how horrible my sin is and what a great price He paid for me. And I don't take sin lightly anymore, because my sin put Him on that cross. Romans 5, if you would turn there. He was obedient for us. Romans 5, verse 19. Speaking of our first head, Adam, here it says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. His obedience. In Isaiah 53, verse 11, it says that he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. By his knowledge, by his obedience, by him keeping the law and presenting himself to God the Father, the perfect sacrifice, the once and for all sacrifice that pleased the wrath of God, the wrath that I deserved, the wrath that you deserved, never to be brought up again. The price has been fully paid. Philippians 3, if you'll turn there. We'll see here Paul talking about the righteousness which God requires. And before this verse, in verse 9, Paul goes on to give a long dissertation about his pedigree, about how he was a perfect Jew, how he kept the law perfectly, went to the right schools, studied under the right professors, zealous beyond all his peers. And he takes all those accolades that he accomplished and he calls it a big pile of rubbish. And he says this in verse 9. And to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul understood all those accolades, as it says in Isaiah, were filthy rags. He needed a righteousness outside of himself, a perfect righteousness, one who kept the law perfectly. The law demands perfection. And I know I've pondered this for most of my life. I can't attain to that. As Paul said, the law was a schoolmaster to bring me to Christ. I see the law as that for me as well. I don't measure up. I need another one's righteousness who is perfect to cover me. Another's righteousness is given to us who believe. Who believe in that sacrifice. Romans 10:4 says this, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So this is the crux of that statement: to whoever believeth. Do you believe that Christ, as we celebrate this weekend, went to that cross, suffered that cruel mocking, the crown of thorns that was placed upon his head, his beard plucked out, mocked, beaten, crucified on a cross? Do you believe that that Christ stood in your place? Do you believe that he went there for you? Do you see him as the sacrifice, the one who took your sins upon his shoulder? He who knew no sin became sin for you. Do you see that man on that cross as that for you? That's what believing on him means, believing upon his sacrifice in your place. Do you believe that? Or do you want to go about being righteous by keeping the law? Perfection is what's required. If you would, turn to Galatians chapter 2. I won't keep you long this morning. Had a habit of getting long-winded here lately. Galatians chapter 2, in verse 16. Paul talked to the Galatian church, and Paul was having a problem with the Galatian church. They were wanting to go back to the law and trying to be justified by keeping the law. In verse 16 right here, he says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ." What do they believe? What we just talked about. Christ died in my place. "Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." While we in Galatians, turn over to chapter 3. And let's read verses 1 through 11. And Paul gets real stern right here with them, because it's a reason to get stern. If you're trying to go about your own righteousness by keeping the law and not believing in Christ as your substitute, eventually, I'm sorry to say, but you will land in hell. "There is no name under heaven by which a man may be saved but Jesus Christ," not Chris Wade, not you, not anybody, Jesus Christ and him alone. Galatians 3:1, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you." The only substitute that would be accepted by the Father. "This only would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, or are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" And he gives an example of Abraham here. "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham." The gospel was in the Old Testament, folks. So he preached it to Abraham. Don't harm the boy. "I will be a sacrifice myself." "So then they which," I'm sorry, "in the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." And in verse 10 right here, it says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not," and notice right here, "in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." We cannot be justified by it. James says if you miss one, you're guilty of the whole thing. And before my salvation, if God would have saved me at the point he saved me in 2004, and I would have lived perfect from there on out, I still had a baggage before that. I was guilty. Verse 11, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." And what does it mean to live by faith? To look unto Christ as our righteousness. To look unto him as a substitute that covers our sins. Even when we still yet sin, we go to him. We confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We have a high priest who not only loved us enough to die for us, but yet when we continue, makes intercession for us at the throne of God, sent forth the Holy Spirit to live in us, to when we wander off, to pull us back to the straight and narrow way. If you would, let's finish in Romans chapter 3 this morning. Let's look at verses 21 through 28. What does it mean to be justified? Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. This is no new doctrine. It's been there since the beginning. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And I've quoted this next verse for, 20 some odd years, but in context, it talks about the righteousness that God imputes. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I've used that for evangelism, but in the context of this, it talks about God justifying the ungodly. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, notice, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sin that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is their boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the law is not necessary. The law is necessary. It's a guide of how we should walk in this world, how our conversation would be. As I stated earlier, I realize my sin more and more and more, and I realize how great a cost he paid for that. And that there's nothing that I want to do, even though I do it sometimes, break that law, and I do it in front of people, and I bring reproach to it. As it is with my lovely wife, Tammy, there's times that I would never do anything to hurt her, but there's times that I say things in the moment kind of harsh, knowing how she lays down her life for me every day, and it hurts me when I realize what I've done, and I come back and I apologize and I ask for her forgiveness, similar with this, our sin toward God. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to grieve his spirit. I don't want to quench his spirit. What great love that he has shown us, that he would lay his life down for us. Let's repeat the question before we end this morning. What is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace wherein he pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this grace, for wherein we stand, Lord, that you laid down your life for us, Lord. You took our sin upon you. And when you look upon us, Father, as fallen sinners, you see Christ's righteousness on us, and when you look at Christ, you see our sins, It's too marvelous for us to even understand this, how you would love so much. But we thank you so much for us. Lord, give us grace to sojourn in this world, Lord, to where we would cast away sin and we would turn from it, and that we would be a holy people, Lord. We'd be a sweet aroma to your nostrils, Lord. Help us in that, Lord. Not that we look to that for our justification, but as our gratitude for what such a great price that you've paid for us. Bless the rest of this time this morning in Sunday school, Lord, in the next hour. We praise you and give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.